We continue the shiur in Gemara. The last shiur we spoke about a machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. There's a number of items that they discuss, they debate. First item was the question, when was this world created? That is, which month of the year? We discussed that at length. Rabbi Eliezer said the world was created in Tishrei. Rabbi Yehoshua said the world was created in Nisan. Now we go on to the next items that they discuss. First, Rabbi Eliezer says the Geula, eventually the Geula, that means the time for Mashiach's coming, will take place in Tishrei, scheduled time. Of course, Mashiach can come any day, any moment, any minute. We pray for that. But that's if we are zocheh. We do teshubah, Mashiach can come immediately. Otherwise, when is the scheduled time for his coming if there is no teshubah, chas v'shalom? Eliezer says the scheduled time is Tishrei. Rabbi Yehoshua says the scheduled time is Nisan. This follows logically because since the Gemara tells us that a tzaddik generally passes away on the day of his birth, on his birthday, so that means that his years are complete. Tzaddik lives years that are complete, just like Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on his birthday, Rabbi Akiva lived 120 years, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Hillel the Elder, they lived 120 years complete, passed away on their birthday. So too, since the world was created or born on that day on Tishrei, therefore the world will be completed. The passing of its tzaddik means that he's completed. He moves on from this temporary life to a complete life and get ended. This world will come to its culmination, its completion, its perfection when Mashiach comes. Since the world was created on Tishrei, therefore stands to reason logically that Mashiach will come on Tishrei. The year will be complete and it will come. Rabbi Yehoshua says the world was created on Nisan, and therefore it will be completed on the same month of Nisan, so that in that month Mashiach will come. Now, following the same vein, the same thinking, we have another machloka between them as to when were the fathers of the Jews born and when did they pass away. Rabbi Eliezer says that Abraham and Yaakov were born in Tishrei. Remember, Tishrei is the month of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Nisan is the month that we have the holiday of Pesach. Rabbi Eliezer says Abraham and Yaakov were born on Tishrei. Rabbi Yehoshua says that they were born in Nisan. No one argues the point that Yitzchak Avinu was born on Pesach. This is written clearly. But they too, Avraham and Yaakov, Eliezer says they were born on Tishrei. Rabbi Yehoshua says born in Nisan. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says since they were born on Tishrei, they also passed away on Tishrei. Rabbi Yehoshua says they were born in Nisan, they passed away in Nisan. Now, the Gemara says each one has proof from Pesukim, sentences in the Torah, proving their point that they were born on this certain day, born on Tishrei or born on Nisan. They have no proof they passed away in the same month. Their proof is only taken from the case of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, the last day when he spoke to the Jews, when he gave them his last will and testament, when he gave them Mishneh Torah, he reviewed the Torah for them, he said to them these words. This pasuk is in the Torah when he said, Ben me avi esrim shana anochi hayon. Today, I am 120 years old. Today, I have completed mal'ul. There was filled 120 years of my life. So, therefore, this proves, the Gemara says, that it's tzaddik, lives a full life, his years are complete, and he passes away on his birthday. So since we have this proof of Moshe Rabbeinu, hence we understand that if the Avot, the fathers, were born on Tishrei, they must have passed away on Tishrei too. They were born in Nisan, they must have passed away in Nisan. Now, one important point that has brought up a question that Tosafot asks, and the usual question, a very difficult one to answer, it seems. Kesav Moshe Rabbeinu, where it says, Hayom malu yamay shnotai, today my years, my days were completed. My days, that is, the days of my years. Today, I am 120. And we know that on Shabbat, at the prayer of Mincha, we say, Zitkatcha geharadei keel, Zitkatcha Elokim admarom, Zitkatcha tzedek liolam. Three times the sentence Zitkatcha. Zitkatcha means, this is sort of a memorial prayer for those who passed away. Three times, because exactly at that moment, Shabbat to Mincha, the afternoon, the three of the greatest tzaddikim in the world passed away. Moshe Rabbeinu, Yosef HaTzadik, and David HaMelech passed away at that time. Therefore, we say this prayer of Tzidkatcha. Shabbat at Mincha. This, everyone knows, this is universally known. Question is, though, that Moshe Rabbeinu said, on this day, when I become 120 years old, it says he wrote the Torah. He wrote the entire Torah. But if he was 120 years old, and this was on Shabbat, how could it say that he wrote the Torah on that date? Especially when the Gemara says clearly, Zayin bi Adar nolad Moshe, the seventh day of Adar, the month of Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Zayin bi Adar, seventh day of Adar, he passed away. This is where the Gemara brings it in reference to Haman. Haman thought that he'd pick out of the month that would be unlucky for the Jews to destroy them, the month of Adar, the month in which we have Purim, because he figured if Moshe Rabbeinu, their greatest leader, passed away in this month, it must be an unlucky month for the Jews. He didn't realize, the Gemara says, that it was also the day that he was born. So consider it either way. It's lucky, in a sense at least. But we do see that in the seventh day of Adar, he was born, the seventh day of Adar he passed away. How could we say that on that day, he wrote the Torah if the day he passed away was definitely Shabbat? Otherwise, he wouldn't have this prayer that Zitkatcha said throughout the ages by all Jews. This is Tosafot's question. The answers are very difficult, but the one answer that is given by the Acharonim is one that is a very fitting one, very clear one. The Pasuk says, Hashem blesses Tzadikim and says that Mispar Yamecha Amalei, I will complete the number of years, Amalei. The word Ami is I, Malei, I will make Malei full. What is the average number of years, the average lifespan of a person on earth? King David says 70 years is the average lifespan. In fact, King David passed away the age of 70 exactly. Now, Malei, his bigimetria, a numerical value, is 71. Mem, Lamed, 40 or 30. Aleph is 1, 71. Hashem said, I will make your years complete. Malei, complete, yet there is 71. Complete is only 70. The answer is that I will make it so complete that you will complete the 70th year and go into the beginning of the 71st when you pass away. You will not have part of that 70th year missing. It will be a complete 70 years, and the passing will be in the part of the day following the 70 years. Therefore, the words of Moshe Rabbeinu were, Hayom today, Mal'u, I have completed. Today I complete my years, 120 years. Today. When was today? When did he complete his 120 years, which is the last day? If he was born on the seventh day of Adar, The last day of the year was the sixth day of Adar. So this, he said, on the sixth day of Adar, today I complete my years. And that's the day he wrote the Torah, because that was the sixth day of Adar, which was on Friday. The next day, the seventh day of Adar, on Shabbat, he passed away. This answers completely this question. But this is the concrete proof that Tzadikim pass away on the date of the month of their birth. Therefore, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua claim that we know only the day of the birth of the fathers of the Jews. The day of the passing, we don't need any proof for, because we know it must have been on their birthday. Yemenah says, there are four times a year in which we find a day of judgment. Judgment day is not once a year, but four times a year. One, on Pesach, there is judgment day for the crops. Crops that grow, there is a determined in heaven how well these crops will develop. What type of food will come up, how rich the crops will be, this is determined on Pesach, that's their judgment day. Second, on Shavuot, 50 days later, the fruit of the trees, this is their judgment day, and is then decided which fruit will grow and which trees will remain barren. On Rosh Hashanah, this is judgment day for all humans throughout the world. All human beings come before Hashem that day in judgment, and their fate for the coming year is decided. Fourth day of judgment is Sukkot. On Sukkot, they are judged for water, because water is one of the most important requirements for life. Sustain human life, one must have water. This is so vital that there's a separate day of judgment for water itself. Rizal says, of course, that when we say on Sukkot they are judged for water, it does not mean only they are judged how much water they'll have. They are judged for crimes committed in with water, meaning those who failed to perform the mitzvot that must be done with water. For example, every morning when a Jew arises, he must wash his hands three times alternately to get the evil spirits off them. If not, he's contaminating any food that he touches. If not, he contaminates his own body. This is a crime where he can hurt others too. So for this crime, he is judged on Sukkot. Second one is those who dare to belittle or to not to take an account the importance of the mitzvah of mikveh. Mikveh is the most important body of water in existence, because a person can bathe all the baths, showers of the world, he can cleanse himself thoroughly, physically. But so he can do that for a lifetime and never once cleanse his soul. The only waters that cleanse a person's soul are the waters of mikveh. So one who neglects that mikveh, he is judged on Sukkot. This is what the Rizal says about this. However, again, Tosafot asks a question. We say, the first statement was, this is a very interesting question too, because this is an item that we have learned. We discussed this previously, story that we discussed previously. First statement is that on Pesach, the world's crops are judged. How well they will grow, if they will grow at all, if there'll be rain to make them grow. Remember, we had a story about a certain tzaddik, a rabbi of the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beva. One time, Erev Rosh Hashanah got into an argument at home. He was very poor. He'd given away his last coin to a poor man. And he became so disgusted at home that he left his home and went that night to lie down to sleep in the solitary confines of a cemetery. He laid down a parcel of ground between two graves. That night, suddenly he heard these two that were buried there, it was two young girls, who were having a discussion. He was so great at tzaddik that he could hear the voices of those buried, because the Gemara says that after the dead are buried, the souls continue to speak. They discuss with each other if they are still there. Apparently, these two souls were still there in the graves. He heard them speaking, and he heard one of them requesting of the other, let's go together, let's visit heaven, let's hear, this is an oshanet, let's hear what heaven decides, decrees about this coming year for the world. Second one said, I cannot leave my grave because I am entombed, enshrined in a very solid coffin. I cannot be released. And, of course, the Gemara tells us that one soul is not freed from the grave until the body deteriorates. So therefore, the worst suffering a person can have is to be buried in a solid coffin, not allowing the body to deteriorate. But the second one said to the first, you go up to heaven, listen to what goes on there, and come back and tell me as a matter of interest. This tzaddik overheard the first soul go up to heaven, come back, and report that the rains will come at a certain time of the year. Therefore, it is beneficial for those who plant at that time, at this certain time. This tzaddik went home, and he planted at that time. He was successful. The next year, he went back again. Again, he overheard the same conversation. Again, he heard direction as to when to plant his crops to have them be successful. Tosavot asks, from there we see that the decision about the crops, when they will grow, how they will grow, is made on Rosh Hashanah. This is when that tzaddik went to the cemetery. How come the Gemara says here so clearly that it is on Pesach that the crops are judged in heaven? This question Tosavot asks, Tosavot answers that one answer is that true, they are judged on Rosh Hashanah, but the decisions of all judgments are mentioned in heaven on Rosh Hashanah. Since that's the day of judgment for the world, therefore all decisions are remarked about on Rosh Hashanah. That's why this soul overheard. Secondly, it is true that all judgments are made on Rosh Hashanah, as this soul heard, just that this final seal was placed on different parts of the year. For the crops, it's Pesach. For the fruit of the trees, it's Shavuot, and so on. But the entire world is judged on Rosh Hashanah, including every part of the world, vegetation, water, and so on. This is the answer that Tosavot gives for this. The Gemara says that there's one rabbi who disagrees with one statement. We say that people are judged on Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yossi says, I maintain that humans are judged every second of their lives. Every act that a person does, automatically he is judged in heaven for that act. So it's not just Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a general judgment, but every moment of the day of a person's life, he is judged. The Gemara says, we have prayers, tefillot, praying for the sick. And we must say these prayers are only according to this Rabbi Yossi, because according to him, a person is judged every moment. Fine, then, our prayers mean to imply that a person should not become ill. The next minute's judgment should not be one that is harsh. May I be saved from contacting illness. Tatsileni mi chalayim rayim. Save me, spare me from bad sicknesses, from ailments. But this prayer can only be said according to Rabbi Yossi, because according to the Chachamim, the other rabbis, it was already decreed about him that he should be ill at a certain time. What good are the prayers now? Kosovot asks, how can we say this is only for Rabbi Yossi if we have the Amidah, the prayer of Ha'ena Hashem V'Ena Fe? Every Jew says that. This is surely according to the Chachamim. All the rabbis admit this prayer is a proper one. This is the right one. Hashem, cure us. Tosavot answers that this Prayer is Hashem to cure us if we are already sick. We pray to Hashem to cure us. But the prayer, save us from becoming ill, this can be said only according to Rabbi Yossi. Because this means spare us from having to undergo a harsh decree from heaven that we should be saved from this type of illness. The final word in the Gemara is, though, this is theoretically speaking, the final word is that tefillah is so powerful that it is not stopped, it is not halted, not affected by any decree in heaven. Whether it's before the harsh decree came down, after the decree was made, tefillah is effective against any kind of decree. Person could pray at any time and be sure that if his prayers are sincere and heartfelt with teshuvah, then surely they will be answered. Now we come to a intricate, little complex topic. And again, we have to ask you to concentrate. Concentrate means to be wide awake. It's very interesting, too, extremely so, because this has lomdut to it, a little deeper learning, deeper thinking, and pilpul, depth. This is a topic that's very pertinent to every single person. Let's first take the case at hand, the one the Gemara speaks about. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchak said, that a person is judged. When a person is judged, when his fate is decided, he is judged only according to his deeds at that moment. Whatever the person is at that moment, if at that moment the person is good, then he is judged as a good person. If at that moment the person is evil, he is judged as an evil person. No matter what the future holds for him, even though in heaven it is known, this person is going to turn out to be different. Someday he'll be good, better, and then he'll be worse. It makes no difference. Judgment day means for what he is right now. This the Gemara learns from a case of the Chumash. Avraham Avinu had two sons. He had one son born to him through Sarah. That son was Yitzchak. Very good son. Pure, perfect tzaddik. He was the son of Sarah. He was the second father of the Jews. Avraham Avinu was not blessed with all good children. He also had one son, Ishmael. Ishmael was an evil son, the son of his maid, Hagar. He was so bad that Sarah insisted to Avraham that he drive out Hagar from his home. She doesn't want to have the evil influence of Ishmael upon her son Yitzchak. Avraham was forced to listen to her. He sent her out of her home. She came into the forest carrying this boy, he was 17 years old at the time, taking this young son with her. And they got to a point where there was no more water left to drink. She felt they would die of thirst. She together with her child. She began to cry very bitterly. This is all in the Chumash. Parashat Vayera, Bereishit. Pasuk tells us Hashem heard her voice crying, but an angel appeared before her. In fact, three angels appeared before her. And they told her, Hashem has heard the voice of your son. He has listened to you, and therefore fear not, a miracle will take place now. Spring of water will come up as a miracle, and your son will grow to become a great nation, Turks, Ishmael. Now, the wording there is, Hashem has heard, Shema et kol anar, Hashem heard the voice of his boy, Ba'asher hu shem, where he is. What's meant by where he is? Where he is right now, what his status is right now, what type he is now. Because now the Gemara tells us what took place. It was an uproar in heaven. Hashem said, I'm going to make a miracle. These tears, these two people are such that I must save their lives. The angels in heaven all rose up, complaint. They said, they protested strongly. They said, this Yishmael, he is the one that's going to destroy your children, the Jews, in later years, with water. That same item he's going to use as a means of destruction against the Jews. You're going to save him now with water? How will he destroy them later? You know, this is when the Jews went into exile, after the first Holy Temple was destroyed. Their captors were leading them with chains, and they were very hungry on the road. They were going into exile to Babel, to Babylon, very hungry and very thirsty. So they said, they begged their captors, give us something to eat or drink or we'll die. But they refused. So they said, well, let us ask our cousins. Yishmael is our cousins. They live nearby. Perhaps they will help us. You know, as they asked them to the Yishmaelin, children of Yishmael said, surely we'll help you. You want food and drink? Why, of course, here. Fish, meat, best, but very salty. Deliberately, it was oversalted. They were hungry. They ate this. Eating this, such salted meat, made their throats parched. They were dying of thirst now. And they gave them canteens. They said, here, these canteens are full. They took these canteens, put them to their mouths, pulled off the cap, put the canteen in their mouth before they had a chance to test it. These canteens were filled with compressed air. They put it in their mouth. The air shot into them and just killed them on the spot. As the air went into their body, this compressed air. This was the heartlessness on the children of Yishmael. This the angels cried about to Hashem. This evil Yishmael is destined to do such harm. His children do such harm to your children. Is he worth saving? Is his life worth saving now? Hashem answered, right now. Did he commit any crime with water? But they said, no. But Hashem said, we judge a person only for what he is at the present. Right now, he is good. He's not a criminal. That's how I must judge him. What happens later on is not our affair. But therefore, he was saved. This the Gemara says now. The Yitzhak says, every person is judged only for his actions of the present, regardless of what it'll turn out to be like later on. Now, all the Fedashim clamor about this is a powerful question. Anybody who has learned Chumash, Torah, should rise up too and ask about this seeming contradiction. There is a law in the Chumash in the Torah called Ben Sorer Umoreh, Bar Minan. One of the laws in the Torah says that if a father and mother are cursed, Chas V'Shalom, they have a son who is Sorer Umoreh, who is disobedient, who is evil, who turns against them, then the law is that they must take this son, bring him to court, and his penalty is death. He must be stoned to death. Death penalty of sekila, there are four types of death penalty in the Torah. Sekila, stoning, serefa, burning, headache, death by sword, headache, death by choking. The worst one is sekila, stoning to death. The parents have a son who rebels against them. It is incumbent upon them, they're compelled to bring this son to the court, to report him, and have them stone him to death. This is the law. Now, the Torah tells us further, what was his crime? What crime did this boy commit that he deserves stoning to death? Elena says, well, he refused to listen to his parents. He ate. By force, he took large chunk of meat and wine, very impolitely, without respect, without manners. He ate this very unmannerly. Therefore, he deserves death. The Gemara asks, why? What crime is this? The Gemara says, because the Torah tells us, the Torah says, this boy eventually will turn out to be a criminal. The fact that he is so unmannerly now, the fact that he eats not like a polite person should, this means that later on, in later years, he's going to turn criminal. He'll steal from others who want the same type of food. It's like a drug. They'll be led to steal. He'll hurt others. And rather than have him die later on as an asheh, as one who is guilty of major crimes, better he should die now while he is still pure. Therefore, put him to death now while he is pure, rather than wait until later when he turns evil. This is a pasuk, a sentence in the Chumash, in the Torah. Question is now, according to what we just stated, a person is judged for the present, for what he is right now, and not for the future. How can we take a boy here who is true disrespectful, who is one that is unmannerly, but they give him a death penalty because later on he might do something? Judgment should be for the present only, as we just declared, just stated. This is the seeming contradiction. Now, to add to this, I think that it would be very respectful to bring up the name of Rabbi Kalmanowitz, Rav HaShalom, the Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva, the old Yeshiva, who passed away a short time ago. He's buried in Jerusalem. But one time, many years ago, must be at least 10 years ago or more, I once sat in at a shiur, a lecture that he gave. This was in the month of Elul. And I recall that his lecture pertained to this topic. The Gemara said that if you mention words of Torah, of one who passed away, his soul lives again on this world. So I'm sure he would appreciate this. And let's perform that mitzvah for his sake, since many here undoubtedly knew it. To repeat his words, he added some powerful questions to this, on this topic. Here's some of the questions he asked. First, the wording in the Gemara is, let this boy die pure rather than to die as an ashek. Now, this is directly contrary to the words of Avraham Avinu when he asked Hashem. Hashem decided to destroy the city of Sodom. So he said, perhaps there are tzaddikim in that city. Would you kill tzaddikim? Would you kill those who are pure? If there are pure ones, the city should be saved. And Hashem said, of course I would not kill those who are pure. If there are tzaddikim, I'll save the entire city for them. There we find clearly that tzaddikim do not die. Hashem saves them. Why do we say, hey, let him die as a pure person, tzaddik? Contrary to those words. Secondly, how can we take away the life of this boy when he could continue to live for another year, 50 years, a life of 70 years? The Torah says that 1 hour, one moment of life on this world is worth more than all the eternity of Gan Eden. Much as Gan Eden, paradise in heaven, is so much wonderful, so remarkable, the pleasures there are so much higher than anything on earth. But one thing you have not got there, which you have here, the ability, the opportunity to perform its work. Person dies, he goes to Gan Eden, and how he tries, all the years of eternity, he cannot perform one single mitzvah, no matter how much he wants to. Here he has his chance to. So therefore, 1 hour on earth, in that respect, is worth more than all the life of eternity in Gan Eden. And certainly more than an hour, 70 years. Why deprive this boy, who we say is pure now, why deprive him of the chance of performing mitzvot, especially of what those mitzvot could be, teshubah? He has a chance to repent during all those years. Third, What happened to the freedom of choice? Doesn't the person have freedom of choice on earth? We say that he will turn out to be an evil person, a thief, a highway robber, one that will hurt people. Why should we say that? Person is given freedom of choice. He has that freedom to choose for himself. If he wants, he can turn out to be the biggest tzaddik in the world. We're depriving him of that freedom of choice by taking away his life now. He can prove himself to be the best person. Third, there's always a statement that says one must fear the day of judgment. Judgment means harsh, unkindness, no pity, no compassion. It seems here that one must fear more pity than judgment, because a person can drown in pity too. A person can be killed by kindness. What is more destroying than this so-called kindness? Because we want to be kind to this boy, let's be kind and kill him while he is still good. Let's not wait until he does something wrong in the later years. Kill him while he is good. With such kindness, we could kill every person in the world. Everyone will say, let's kill them off while they're good. Take all the good people and let them say, destroy them because they might turn evil someday. So such kindness is even worse, harsher than judgment. Well, two, we don't say that. We say Hashem says, I judge people by what they are at present. In that case, we come back to the question, why should the case be different by this boy who committed this minor crime of taking food by force? Add to this question, what is the final statement? Let's kill him while he is good. Let him not die when he commits a crime. He'll be committing a crime. What crime will he commit? He will steal from others. So ultimately, the worst that will happen is he will steal. If we let him live and he steals, what penalty does he get then? He get a penalty of money, lashes, but he will not get death penalty even then. So the worst that can happen is he'll get to a point where he deserves a penalty at his worst, which is still not death and still not stoning. Why should we give him now, when he's still pure, the worst type of death possible, stoning? These are the questions that were asked by Rabbi Kamenetz Lev HaShalom, and his answer, before we give the others, is, his answer is a vital one, one that should remain with us, that should guide us throughout our lives. This boy deserves death for one reason, because it is true that the law of the Torah has its limitations. For a certain sin, you pay a certain penalty. For a certain crime, bigger crime, you pay a larger penalty. These are the laws of Torah. The mitzvot of Torah. Torah has its set of laws. But the Torah tells us, too, that there is something that is above the laws of Torah, and above the Torah itself, and something which Hashem regards as more important than Torah. The key to Torah. Without that key, the Torah that a person learns or carries out is worthless. Hashem disregards that completely. This key is the crown of Torah. And this key is so important that any mitzvah done without this key is meaningless and is worse than had it not been done. And any Torah person learns without this key is of no value. And this key, the preface, the activate, the Torah is Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. Respect is more important than Torah itself. Hashem wants a person to show respect more than he wants him to show the actions of mitzvot. Person who has respect for Torah is more important than a person who learns Torah. Person who shows respect for that which is holy is more important than a person who performs the greatest deeds on earth. Nothing is above respect. This is the crowning glory of every single mitzvah that exists. Before Hashem created Torah, He created derech eretz, respect. Before Hashem, once God up to a person, he wants us to show this person to show this respect. This respect is the first law. We say yirat Hashem, fear Hashem. It means respect for Hashem. Hashem says, show your respect for me. You call me a father. We say avinu malkeinu, our father. Hashem says, if I am your father, where's the respect you show me? By the same token, Hashem says, you show me disrespect, whatever mitzvah you perform is worthless. You're not doing any mitzvah. He goes, without respect, there is no mitzvah. Say the thing with a parent. Hashem says, kabed et avicha v'et imecha. One of the 10 commandments in the Torah is respect, honor your father and mother. If you fail to show them respect, any good you do is worthless, because failing to respect parents is the same as failing to respect Hashem. One who revolts, rebels against the parent, one who says a word against the parent, is just as distasteful as one who speaks a word of disrespect to Hashem. Chas v'shalom. You must be. Parents are partners to Hashem in the producing a person on earth. So that Hashem says, if this son is one who may have eaten only a piece of meat, may have drunk a bit of wine, comparatively this is a small crime, but his major crime is that he has shown a complete lack of respect, complete disdain for parents, and therefore we don't consider this, we don't judge this as to whether this is equals to a crime of stealing or a crime of killing. Proof is that we had not just a boy, but even the greatest tzaddikim, the greatest rabbis in the world. The greatest rabbi of all time in the Yemenah was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students. Today, we are mourning during these days in the Omer. We cannot take haircuts. We cannot go to, we cannot have weddings, no happy occasions. Because of the passing of these 24,000 great rabbis, great tzaddikim. Imagine being students of Rabbi Akiva, having so great a rabbi. They were the greatest rabbis alive, practically of all time. These 24,000 students all died during these 33 days. What crime did they commit? Did they steal? Did they kill? Did they break Shabbat? Did they fail to put on tefillin? None of these sins were committed by them. There was just the one item which we consider unimportant, irrelevant. There was a lack of respect on their part, and not respect for their rabbi, a respect for each other, mutual respect. But the derech eretz respect is placed so important a part that the greater a person is, the more this respect is demanded of him. If that respect is missing, there is a penalty that is equaled by nothing else. These 24,000 rabbis paid a penalty of what? Of death. Every one of these 24,000 rabbis was put to death, and a horrible death too. Askina deferia. They choked, slowly choked to death. To show that because this crown, if that is gone, if that is not present, then all of his thought that a person does, the Torah he learns is worthless. Without this key, everything else is minimized to nothingness. And therefore, the case of this boy, this person who has no sign, no show of respect at that age, then we are certain that this lack of respect could lead to a lot of evil. We're not concerned, we're not punishing him for that evil. We state that now, with this lack of respect, there is very little hope for him. And for that lack of respect, the fact that in him there is no good, then let him better die now before he actually brings this into action. It will result in evil actions later on, but better take his life away now. But again, of course, the question is, still the Torah does say, the Yemenah does say that a person is judged only for what he is at present. At present, he is not that evil. Why judge him for his crimes in the future? Here, the Fedeshim answer two things. First place, the difference between this evil son and the case of Yishmael. Why was Yishmael judged for the present? He was not put to death though the future, his children would do harm to the Jews because of the fact, simply, that he himself did not commit that crime. He was not to be punished for the crimes of his children. It was his descendants that would do this harm to the Jews. Hashem said what will happen later on in a separate case. Right now, he himself is not the one committing this crime against the Jews. Therefore, he must be kept alive. Secondly, and this is the main point, he must make a separation, a difference between the heavenly court and the one on earth. The heavenly court says, we judge him for what he is now, because if he commits a crime later, he can never escape us. Heaven follows a person, sees a person, observes a person every moment that a person lives. So if he commits a crime later, we can get him later on. There's no escape. No place can a person hide out. He can't leave town. He can't leave the country. He can't hide the dungeon. Under the ground, above the ground, there's no place to hide to Hashem. But in the case of the judges in the court, they say, right now we know this person is evil. The lower court says that this son deserves a penalty, and it is up to us to give it to him now. But, again, as we said, above all, you must remember that nothing is as important as respect for something, for anything that is holy. A person who, let's say, is not learned, he has not had the opportunity to study Torah, but he is very sincere, humble, and he has respect for Torah, meaning he has respect for those who are knowledgeable, respect for a chacham, respect for items that are holy, respect for places that are holy. He walks in a knis, in a yeshiva, with respect for the holiness of the place, respect for days that are holy, for the Shabbat, the holy days. This person is admired more in heaven than the most learned person. Person can be filled with Torah, but if he is filled at the same time with conceit, with haughtiness, without proper respect for Torah, he considers himself, as Bisholm, equal to Torah. His knowledge means nothing. It's respect that comes before Torah, respect that stands higher than Torah. Same thing, too, Ignatius says, with a son. This is a person's attitude to Hashem, a son's attitude to a parent. Ignatius says that a son could tell a parent, go out and work hard, or make a lot of money because I need it. This is bad. Or a son could say to a father, Father, I bought you Dice's gift, roast turkey, prepared, take it. Jimenez says that the one who tells his father to go to work could get Gan Eden for it, paradise for that. The one that gives him the roast turkey could go right to Gehinnom, worst penalty. How? Depending upon the way he says it. If it is said with a tone of respect, without arrogance, tone of feeling for parents, then there is Gan Eden. If he gives him the best food, he gives him the best treasures, money and food and everything, but with a disrespectful attitude, Chas v'Shalom, all those gifts are worthless. There is only Gehinnom to pay for it. The Derech Eretz manifests itself in a tone. A person who is known as a one who talks back, one who retorts. This, if a retort that is made to a friend too, shows disrespect, shows an unmannerliness. But if ever, Chas v'Shalom, a child makes a retort to a parent, ever raises his voice to a parent, Chas v'Shalom, this is the ultimate, the peak of disrespect. But the Yehuda says the worst Gehinnom, the worst penalty is prepared, lies in waiting for that child who Chas v'Shalom shows this disrespect to a parent. But I mean, we've discussed many times stories in the Gemara about these great rabbis who were so careful about this mitzvah. They, with all the care and caution they took, they feared what would happen later on. Did I do enough? Because the truth is that as much as a child will ever do for a parent, as much respect as a child will show for a parent, as much honor he will show, as much favor as he will do, he could never hope to repay the tiniest percent of that which a parent has done for a child. You care during a child's infancy period or the child's growing up. The centered interest that a parent shows in a child, that sincerity could never really be repaid. So at least, if he cannot return it in a positive manner by repaying it somehow, at least, as we shall avoid, beware of doing something in a negative manner. To go the other way, to show open arrogance, disrespect of any kind, has shown. Unless for this, Hashem is most particular to punish. This is the most important lesson that we could state, the lesson of respect to the Chenetz, which is Kadmela Torah. Rabbi Yitzhak adds, as we said, Hashem judges a person for what he is. Yitzhak says there are also other items that are very vital. A person's sins lie in waiting to punish him. But these sins could lie dormant. They could be sort of semi-overlooked if they're small. It's only when they're examined very closely that a person is found to be guilty and he's punished. So if a person doesn't do anything to bring up these sins, to bring up this topic, then he might get away with it for a while, or to a certain degree. But there are three things, the Gemara says, whereby a person's sins are pulled out, dragged out into heaven, examined very closely, and then if they ever examine a person's sins in heaven, that person is, as we shall know, doomed. These three things are, a person goes close to a place where there is danger, a wall that's about to cave in. He walks into a house which is about to fall in. He's taking a risk, dangerous risk. Or he drives in a car which may fall apart, or at excessive speeds, risking his life. Now, he may get away with it. He'll drive very fast past a crossing. If he's lucky, there's no car there. If not, so he's out of luck. Now, he's lucky. He wasn't hit. He came out alive. But why did he come out alive? Because he received a blessing, a miracle from heaven. Before that miracle was made, first, this takes only a flash, a second in heaven. The question is brought up, does this person deserve to be saved? Let's examine his deeds. When they take on his deeds and examine them very minutely, these sins are brought up. At close examination, they are found to be very much in want of purity. And so, though it may result in a decision that his life should be saved, but as long as these sins are brought up, then chas v'shalom, these sins have to be paid for. So therefore, a person must avoid going into places that are very dangerous themselves, because this would bring up chas v'shalom judgment in heaven. Second thing is, when a person sullies, when he prays to Hashem with a tone of demand, prays to Hashem and says, I pray for this certain item, and I insist, I demand. I prayed so long for it, I demand on having this prayer answered. The answer in heaven is, you demand to have it answered, let's see how good you are. Let's examine your deeds and see if you're worthy of having a favorable reply. How are your actions, Mitzvot's sins? Again, his sins are examined closely, and of course, he comes out the loser. Third case is a person who has an argument with another Jew. And instead of resolving the argument between themselves, he goes to pray and prays to heaven, punish that person. Heaven, the answer is, punish that person. Who are you to ask heaven to punish that person? Let's see how good you are first. And if he's examined first, then of course he's out of luck. Therefore, these three things, Rabbi Yitzhak says, are things that dredge up, to bring up the person's sins to be examined, chas v'shalom. Next, Rabbi Yitzhak says that there are four things, the contrary, that could destroy a decree against the person in heaven. If there was decreed against the person illness or something, some misfortune, four things that can change it. First one is tzedakah, giving charity. That can erase a decree from heaven. Second is tefillah. For it is, person has reached a point where the decree is sealed Chas HaShalom by changing his name. That means when they add a name to a person who's very ill, because the decree might be against only this part of a person's name, not the other. It's a different person now. Now, unless the decree is so harsh that they will give Pass's decree on to the person with the new name too. Chances are, though, he will escape that way. We find many people alive today with an additional name. It was given to them during the illness, and they were saved. Without this additional name, they might not have made it. The fourth thing is changing person's actions. That means teshubah. This is the main item by a person doing teshubah. This can change a person completely, so that this decree was issued against a certain person. He's not there anymore. This is a new person. This person is pure. Due to Shubat, a person can be saved completely. Let us hope that we'll be zoche to real Teshubat. We can change our fate so completely, our own, and the fate of all Jews to the better. I will be zoche to the coming of Mashiach now, through Teshubah. We can improve the lot of the entire Jewish people, especially be zoche to the Geula Shleimah, the Yad Bet HaMikdash, now, B'meira, Amen, V'yamin.